Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. It is so good and a joy to be with you again this week, folks. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Well, as we flow into the rhythm of today's broadcast, I invite you to come in to explore another conversation with me about the stories that live both on and beyond the stage. And oh, do we have another fruitful conversation on today's episode. Coming up on the show, Newton Morais, founder of Newton Morais Dance Theater, is in the house and will be opening up about his work, love, loss, and the pathways that have been a part of his inspiring journey. So stay with us and stay tuned right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with our featured guest, Newton Morais, right after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. Newton Morais is a Brazilian-Canadian choreographer, performer, and educator recognized for his powerful fusion of Afro-Brazilian culture and contemporary dance. Originally from Porto Alegre, Brazil, he moved to Canada in the early 1990s and trained at the School of Toronto Dance Theatre. Now, in 1997, he founded Newton Morais Dance Theater, a company dedicated to exploring identity, spirituality, and the artistic dialogue between Canada and Latin America. Newton has created and performed over 50 original works, touring nationally and internationally in Brazil, Germany, Colombia, and Cuba. His choreography is deeply influenced by his Afro-Brazilian heritage, personal loss, and LGBTQ identity. Newton joins me behind the mic today at Turnout Radio. Newton, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for inviting me. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you here as well, Newton. How are you doing? It's been a little while since you and I've had a chance to sit down and chat. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I feel good. I feel creative. I love the summer as well. So it's been good altogether. Yes.
Well, I'm a fan of the summer months as well. There's something to be said about the warmth of the sun on my skin. and taking moments to just walk through the grass and to feel the energy of the summer months. Is it your favorite time of the year?
It is. I think for the fact that I grow up in Brazil and often I come from the southern part of Brazil, and it's very sunny. And even the winters are not very drastic as here. So I love the summer so much, and the sun in your body, and you tan a little bit, and you don't need to wear so many clothing. The seasons are more defined in Canada than I see in Brazil. In Brazil, is in some regions of Brazil, is either summer or summer. In the south, we have more definition of the four seasons, but not as dramatic as Canada.
I've never been to Brazil. I've always wanted to visit, though.
You'd love it there. They would love you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Newton. Well, hopefully one day I'll have the opportunity to visit, to be there. It was so lovely to have run into you recently when the both of us were on our way to separate events. We had a chance to exchange some warm words. And so tell me more about how you've been doing.
I find that for myself, my career is once again taking off. And I love that. I have two phases of my career, and also I enjoy seeing a lot of performance. I learn a lot seeing other artists presenting their work, and I always enjoy having conversation with you. And that's, I remember very vivid that we had a very lovely conversation, and you're very bright, you're very welcoming, and you're very knowledgeable. And it's always wonderful to see another artist that's very caring for the community, and when we have those interactions in this busy city that we live.
Thank you for those words. You just made my day.
You made my day too.
Well, thank you. And you mentioned that you have these two different areas of your career. Unpack that for me, please. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Well, I think I divide my career in the years when my earlier partner was around, Bob Shirley. He was a professor of anthropology, and the years, unfortunately, that he was not around. So when he was around, I was still living in Brazil when we first met in 1985. And then we lived for a few years together, and then eventually he had to come back to Toronto. He was a professor at the University of Toronto in anthropology department. He taught at St. Michael's College and taught it in Scarborough. And then in 91, he was able to bring me to Canada. And at the time I was so afraid because I didn't speak the language, and I didn't know exactly what I could do, because I was teaching some dances in Brazil, like some dance styles, and I was studying physical education, and then he says, no, I'll bring you to Toronto, and you can study English, and you can also try the School of Toronto Dance Theatre. So I did a summer intensive with them, and then eventually I was accepted. So it completely changed me, and so that was the beginning of my career and my life in Toronto. And I really enjoy in the city, and he was so incredible, intelligent, and very caring. And he says to me, Newton, since that you are in an incredible field of dance, try to see everything as you can. Try to soak up everything you can. So I did. And we used to have a subscription at Harbourfront, and we saw all the dance come from Toronto International, amazing performers. And then I was starting studying at the school, and later I developed my own company in 97. So that was the beginning of my career. And then in 97, the first performance of my company was actually in Stuttgart, Germany. I had a very good friend at the Goethe Institute here in Toronto. Her name was Ulla Abikosh. So Ulla suggested to me to apply for possibilities of performing in Germany. And she gave me four venues, and I applied for the four of them, and I was selected in three of them, including the Macau City Theater in Stuttgart. So that was the beginning. And then Eventually, we toured also to Bonn and Bielefeld. That was a famous German director and performer. His name is Fred Dragut, who used to study with Kurt Jooss, and he was a classmate with Pina Bausch. And then my work was start developing the city of Toronto and having incredible artists that collaborate with me over the years. We did some touring. We continued doing tour to Germany. We went to other parts of Canada. I performed at PS 122 in New York City. I went to Montreal quite often to see performers and also to perform at Studio 303. And then there is another amazing thing is that in 2006, I met Jessa Sports, one of the longest collaborator with Pina Bausch. And he became my mentor. So I invite him, and with support from the Goethe Institute and all the arts councils, they support us, the Canada Council, Toronto Council, Ontario Council, Laidlaw Foundation, and Dance Ontario. So I was able to bring him to Toronto to be helping myself as an artist and my dance company. And also we have workshops for the community. And that was 2 weeks. And those were two of the most fascinating weeks in my career.
Newton, as you reflect upon these experiences, what have you learned about yourself, your humanness, and also your own approach to your artistic practices?
Well, on the beginning, when I met Bob, I used to be Catholic. So I always felt when I went to church and stuff like that, that somehow we as LGBTQ plus people, we are not so welcome. And eventually that was kind of tormenting me. And then eventually I decided to find peace with the Afro-Brazilian spirituality in Brazil called Batuque in the south of Brazil. So I became adapted to the spirituality, and that completely changed myself and my view of myself and my view of the world. Plus Afro-Brazilian spirituality is related with dancing. So we don't just pray for the deities, we dance for the deities. So that what really fascinated me and put me into there were create layers that eventually helped me as a human being and helped me as well as an artist. And I think the biggest loss for me was when I lost Bob. He passed away, unfortunately, in 2008. We were together for 23 years. He was my partner, he was my lover, he was my confidant, he was my mentor, and he really helped me to grow as the person that I am right now. And he says, try to see every show as you can, introduce yourself to other artists, and so then you can learn from watching, you can learn and you can improve and you can, you know. So I try to do that all the time, and I think that really resonates with me right now. His presence that's still with me, and his guidance that helped me to be where I am currently in my life, in my career. I feel the longing and the incredible things that Bob taught me, and the deep respect and admiration I have for him. He really helped me to become a better human being. And he also helped me to become the artist that I am right now. And he's always going to be close to me and my heart.
Such beautiful reflections. Thank you, Newton. Thank you. Newton, during the break, we spoke about what feels like sometimes the folds and the waves of grief. How has this journey spoken into the voice of your choreographic practice and approach to choreographic practice?
Interesting. That's a wonderful question. Well, I start developing this piece called Hook. That's one of the most powerful pieces I created in collaboration with my mentor, Jessa Sports. And we started developing before Bob passed away in 2006. But then eventually, unfortunately, he passed away. And then 2009 and 2010, Tania Wharton Surrey, a very respected artist from our community, and now she's involved with Dance Immersion. She invited me to co-present my piece together with one of her works at the Winchester Theatre. So that was the beginning of myself using or expressing my loss into a choreographic platform that I express to spirituality, you know, coming from a Catholic sense and then into the Afro-Brazilian, using elements of contemporary dance and gestural and also a change of costume. So that actually really helped me as a way to express out my fear, my sadness, and my loss. And actually was very powerful and very touching for myself, and was partially of my healing. Ihu, it was a new mark for myself as a choreographer and also being a solo artist for that particular dance. And I think the possibility of presenting that piece for the first time at Winchester Theatre with the support from Tania Wharton Surrey, and she present her own piece, and I think was great for me because I received, that was one of the few times that I received all the levels of government for support for creating this piece, from the City of Toronto, the Ontario Arts Council, the Canada Council, and as well Dance Ontario and Goethe Institute in Toronto. So it was fabulous. And also the opportunity for some of the dancers in the city to have opportunity to meet Jean earlier on, that was incredible too. So this was probably one of the strongest four solos I create for myself during my career. Of course, I create, I think, plus 50 works, and a lot of my works were created for phenomenal dancers that they collaborate with me over the years. But I also, from time to time, I create some solos for myself to express my way of moving, my spirituality, my heritage, my Brazilian heritage, and also the love and the passion that I have for this country and the city that I live on now. And I can say proudly that I'm a Canadian, and how this also affects my creativity and my way of living and everything I do.
You founded Newton Marais Dance Theatre in May of 1997. Talk to us about the company and the conversations that are deeply rooted in the spirit of your choreographic work.
Oh, that's very deep. well, the company was founded in 97 in Stuttgart, Germany, on May the 22nd, and we performed at Macau City Theater, a famous pantomime artist he studied under Marcel Marceau. Prior to that, because I was studying at TDT, Toronto Dance Theater School, I collaborated with some amazing dancers, and the beginning of my career was actually with Sonia Stefan and Rebecca Oswald, that now is Rebecca Batista. And they toured with me to Germany, so that was my beginnings. And always on my mind for my creative outlet, my creative choreograph process, I always explore into my spirituality, of course, into my Brazilian heritage, and also living and working and creating in Toronto and Canada, and with many influence, like example, that modern dance, contemporary dance, dance theater, and so on. And I love to collaborate also with dancers that they come from different background than mine. So the more the merrier. As I don't know if you know, Nicole, and most of the listeners know, but Brazil outside of Canada is one of the most multicultural countries in the world, from people from all over the world. So that's what I want to reflect on my work, to have dancers that they have, they look different from one another, but they also dance different from one another, and they express themselves different from one another. So I love that. I love that because the more material we have, the more unique that the person is, the better the work becomes, and their influence on creating with me. I think that's very important for me, and always has been.
As you explore the expressions of Brazilian culture through your work, Newton, how does music parlay into the relationship of the work that you present?
Well, music, I use Brazilian music. Sometimes I use different styles of music as well. Not often I collaborate with composers. And like example, I collaborate with this phenomenal composer from Portugal. His name is Vitor Gama, and he creates his own found instruments. And primarily outside of my company, I met him in Colombia, and that's where we connected and we perform, and we create this phenomenal piece for the people in Colombia, perform at a prestigious theater in Bogota. And then I invite him twice to collaborate with me in other works like Seat of Gold. And that was really important for me. I also collaborate with Edgar Moreno, who often collaborate with Cages, and he's an incredible Chilean Canadian composer. And as well, I collaborated with DJs because I used to be a DJ. So I collaborate with Matt C, who used to be the founder of the Industry Nightclub. I collaborate with Tiga and Patrick, who are two amazing local DJs. And so I love house music. I love electronic music in general, techno. I love world music. Any music that somehow touch me and my hair stand up, I'm interested. And I think I was lucky enough that when I was with Bob, he subscribed the symphony and Tafo music. So I was able to hear and see and listen and witness all these amazing creative outlets of music in the city that also informed me as a person and helped me to develop myself as a creator and a choreographer over the years.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Prior to the show, you had shared with me that you live by this motto, never give up. Why do those words resonate with you?
I think for me, it's also related with my past in dance here in the city. I went to the School of Toronto Dance Theatre, I was 29. So in a way, they say to me and to Bob, actually, because I couldn't speak any English at the time, they say that very little chance or almost no chance to become a professional artist. And then eventually Bob translated that to me into Portuguese, and I used that as my motto. And I studied there, and then I eventually create my company and so on and so on. So I want to continue being creative as a creative person, even when somehow the norms or how people perceive I should have started at 5 years old and or so dancing. And it's funny because my mentor from Pina Bausch, who actually think that's one of the most important dancers in the world, his name is Justin Sports. He used to be a mathematician and he only became a dancer at 29 years of age, the same age as I start dancing. So of course, if you go to a ballet school or some other place to study, they would recommend to the family in general that the kids start at early age. But I think there is also space for people who start late. And I think I'm a proof, living proof of that myself.
Absolutely. Well, dance lives and breathes through the body, I believe, at any age, at any season, at any time, and is expressed in so many dynamic ways that go beyond a lot of the Eurocentric understandings and also the systemic understandings that we've learned throughout the years.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think it's very important about that because I remember also seeing Pina Bausch spoken, and she mentioned that, and a reporter was mentioned that unfortunately the dancers, when they get to their, as we would say, like a red wine. So when you become a little older, but you have all this knowledge in your body, and maybe you might not be able to express yourself physically the same way as you express yourself when you're in your 20s, but you still have a lot to say. And I think that's fabulous. And I think that's what I want to continue doing. Of course, even from the beginning, I never was able to extend my leg a la seconde, and, you know, above my head. I never did that. But I know that there is a lot of more things I can do myself with my body. And also I can ask my dancers who are younger to do that, and they are able to do. So it's a mix, it's a collaboration, it's a dialogue between artists, intergenerational artists, yeah, and also for the viewer, for the person. And I think everybody should dance one way or another, not necessarily performing on stage, but I think it's very important. And I think because for the fact as well that I come from a culture that people dance, they don't care if they dance so well or not so well. They express themselves physically into the space because we have a huge heritage coming from Africa and other parts of the world that influence Brazilian culture. And also here too, we have many people from different nations that influence and help us to dance. And then of course, if you want to become a professional dancer, that's a different story. But still, and it's not just about, you know, being able to lift your leg or doing so many turns, but also what else can you do with your body to fully express? And maybe just a gesture is as important as you lifting your leg as high as you can. I don't know if I mentioned you because I was just coming back from a performance in Vancouver. I performed at Dancing the Edge Festival, on the Edge Festival. And I was in a double bill with Noam Gagnon. That's one of the most fabulous dancers in Canada that I know. And he used to be the co-director of Hollywood Tattoo. And he's 62 and I'm 63. So the two of us performing, opening the festival was just fabulous. The two kind of more, as he says, I wouldn't say elders, but in a way we are not young men, but we both of us express ourselves different on stage, but were, I think that we felt incredible and the audience really enjoyed. And I'm so thankful for Donna for inviting us to perform. Donna Spencer, the artist director. And I think it was a fabulous time for me. And I mentioned to him when we have a time backstage and I say, you were one of the artists that I always am impressed with. And finally, I'm performing with you on stage. And we hugged, and it was very nice. And he's so humble and so caring and such a phenomenal artist. That was incredible for me to have that opportunity.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Oh, how I've been enjoying speaking with you today. I'd love to talk about now the work that you have been doing, including My Dance Is Not a Hobby, your most recent solo work.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about what inspired the vision of its message?
Yeah, that is kind of a sad beginning of this story, because it starts with somebody who I really care and was one of my closest friends. And one day she says to me, "Your dance is a hobby." I said, "No, my dance is not a hobby." So anyhow, making that short story slow or shorter, we ended up our friendship. And that was the creative outlet for my new piece. And then I create My Dance Is Not a Hobby. And Charles Smith and the Winds and Leaves Collective, they invite me to perform at Citadel. And that was the beginning idea of the piece. And then eventually Charles invited me to be part of the BIPOC Artists Touring Network. And I have been touring that piece in several amazing locations. And the last one was in Vancouver at the Dancing on the Edge Dance Festival. But I performed in Guelph, I performed in Kitchener and so on. And it was amazing for me to have that opportunity to perform, and not just to prove to her, but to myself and to anybody who is witnessing the dance, that dance or any art form for artists is not a hobby. I fully love what I do, and I think I thrive the most when I'm performing or creating a work for other artists and or being a creative process, more than anything, more than speaking, more than doing any other thing, as my outlet, my real outlet of fully expressing my soul and my body.
And My Dance Is Not a Hobby, including your visionary work, lived experiences, what has inspired you as well, are also going to be told in a story on film. Can you talk to us about that as well?
Absolutely. My colleague and good friend, incredible friend, Sonia Stefford, that I first mentioned on the beginning of this interview, and herself and Rebecca, they were part of my beginning of my career in Stuttgart, Germany. She is becoming a very affluent filmmaker for dance, and she approached me and she says, "I would like to do a little a film documentary about your career." So 2 years ago, or almost 3 years ago, she received a grant from Canada Council, and she did the creative process for that. And then this time around, she applied for CAUC in Quebec, and she received the grant. So we are start filming, doing some rehearsals in August, from August 1st to 16th. And then I go back again to Montreal, and then we are spending the time in a chalet outside, 2 or 3 hours out of Montreal, and with some beautiful trees, kind of forest. And that's what we are filming. And the whole cast is incredible. She have a composer, Jacques Galin, that she used to work with La 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 and Steps. She also have Sarah Williams, a phenomenal performer who also is dance with La 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 Human Steps, and she's helping. There is a makeup artist from Montreal, and the whole group, the whole crew, I think it's going to be 10 people. And we are doing this. And then eventually she's bringing to Toronto, and then she's going to film a little bit more. And I have no idea when that's going to be finalized, but I'm incredible touched for the invitation, and even more the fact that I'm going back to the beginning with Sonia. So, and she want to do this with me. So this is incredible opportunity for myself.
Very exciting. And when is the film going to be released?
For now, I have no idea. I think that before the end of the year, she's going to film everything. But then, of course, there is the editing segment. And then eventually she's going to send for promotion, to see if anybody, any festivals is interested. And I'll have a talk with her. And then eventually we can do a launching in Toronto and a launching in Montreal as well. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, wonderful indeed. Very exciting. Well, please do keep Turnout Radio updated on the release of the film. I'm so looking forward to its release and launch indeed.
Thank you.
And Newton, what a true pleasure and an honor it's been to sit and share space and conversation and time with you. You are such a wonderful human. You know, as I have shared with you both on and off air, there is a joy that just comes from your very being. And it makes sharing time and space with you so delightful. So I want to thank you from the middle of my heart for joining me on Turnout Radio today. Such a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, Nicole. Your words are my words to you as well. I really appreciate you. I love you. I think you are an incredible person and artist. I love the fact that you are doing the Turnout interviews, and I feel deeply honored and happy to be here with you today. And let's keep the conversation. And I love when I see you on the street or in the performance, and I hope to see you very soon again. And once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart as well for this invitation. It's very meaningful to me, and I really appreciate and love.
Thank you. My gratitude. Thank you. So much love for you as well, Newton. I look forward to seeing you again very soon.
Thank you, Nicole.
Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Thank you. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. That was the wonderful Newton Moraes joining me on the show today. Such a pleasure to be in conversation with Newton. Now, folks, if you missed the top of the episode and our full conversation, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and also some of your favorite podcast platforms where this episode will soon be streaming. Turnoutradio.com is also where you can access our library of interviews, resources, and also our social media connection information. And speaking of connection, we'd love to hear from you. To connect with our production team, we invite you to email us at turnoutradio@ciut.fm. This brings us to a close of today's broadcast. Thank you for sharing time and rhythm with us today, folks. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.